Friends, as always, it is very phenomenal just to have you here joining us in this Thursday Gnostic Labs for practical application. We know very well that Master Samael consistently tells us, you know, that the hour has arrived to abandon theories and go into that which is practical. And this is why we're holding these sessions. And we hold them not only with the best of intentions, but also with the intent of sharing this internal longing, so that hopefully every practice and every small victory becomes an additional fueling agent into that drive that is keeping you not only looking for knowledge and seeking for the wisdom, but also working in that internal transformation that comes with the work of the revolution of the consciousness. So in this practice tonight, we are showing you here an altar, because tonight's practice is very aligned to the Mayan ray, to the ray of the Maya. So this is a practice in which we're going to be working, hoping to get close and extract wisdom from that ray, powerful ray of wisdom of the Maya. And we're also going to add to that the work with the mantra Gate. Okay? So what you're seeing here on the screen is an altar. This altar has been explained by Master Samael in his book, The Mayan Mysteries. And this altar is known as the altar Q, the letter Q. Now, we have to explain this because at first, when we see this thing, the altar Q, what is that? And why is it Q? So we need to understand what this is. So let me tell you, whenever we speak of altar, okay, we tend to have an immediate image that shows a big table, that shows a table that could be made of a very heavy wood or that could be made of stone. And this is typically a place where we can visualize someone like an officiant, like a priest, offering something. Okay, and that is a beautiful way to see it, because that is exactly what the altar is. It is a place in which we offer a sacrifice. But this sacrifice that we're offering is internal. And yet we still have to go a little bit deeper into that to understand what is it that that means. Because when we're speaking of an altar and we are making a reference to an internal sacrifice, the first thing that we need to get is, what is this thing altar? And friends, maybe you know this, and if you do, please excuse the redundancy, but for the benefit of those who have not heard that yet, whenever we are speaking of an altar, that word altar comes from the Latin word altus. Altus means high. It means high, but it does not end there. Altus is a past tense of a Latin word called alere. And the word alere means to nourish. So this is very important. High nourishment. This nourishment, this high nourishment, it should immediately invite us to reflect on what are the three distinct nourishments that we need to be able to continue moving, walking, carrying around our personality and our existence within this plane of substance. Because we already know that we have three distinct nourishments. There is the gross food that we chew and eat. There is also prana. Prana that comes to us with the breath of life, with every inhalation. So it is the gross food that we eat. It is the air that we breathe, because in the air is prana. And the third one has to do with the transformation of impressions. All of those sensations that we perceive, every single impact that we receive through our senses is an impression. So there is a food that goes to the body. There is a food that nourishes not only the physicality but the vitality, which is the air that we breathe because of prana, because of that Christic energy. And then there is a nourishment that goes to the mind, and that is the impressions. So when we see the altar, this is the place of sacrifice. Why? Because it is at the altar that we offer our individual, particular sacrifice of high nourishment. It is in the altar where we come to not only offer the action of the ritual, but also where we present ourselves to do that internal retrospection that allows us to extract that deep wisdom from our experiences. The thing is that for us to be able to see those experiences, we need to develop our sense of sight. And that is not just the physical sight. It is also the sight that allows us to see those things that are not immediately evident. And there, we find this one thing that is known as the Eye of Dagma. The Eye of Dagma is the chakra ajna. That is that magnetic center that allows us to see and perceive the altar of nature. So this is the altar. Let's keep in mind the Eye of Dagma, because we're coming back to that. So this is what altar means. But why Q? Why is this the altar Q? Well, if you do not know, it so happens that the letter Q is a very ancient character. Not only we find it amongst the Phoenicians, the Etruscans, it is Latin, we find it in the Hebrew tradition, we find it in the Arabic tradition as well. And it comes from a very ancient alphabet, a Proto-Sinaitic, proto first, Sinaitic, from those lands of Sinai, if, I hope that I'm saying that right, of Sinai, so Proto-Sinaitic alphabet. And the letter Q means monkey. Actually, those linguists who study these things, they say that because it means monkey, that is the meaning of the little tail in the letter Q. And when you see that Q character, meaning the quaff character, among the Phoenicians, the Etruscans, the one that we use as part of our Latin alphabet, even the quaff that appears in the Hebrew alphabet, it always has this tail. So it means monkey. And that should be of interest to us. Because as you remember from our lecture on the Stone of the Sun, for the Aztecs and the Mayas, the monkey was very meaningful. The monkey has always been associated with dancing, with art, with beauty, and with harmony. So let's start putting all of these things together, because this is the altar cue. So this is the place where the ancient Maya came to offer their personal sacrifice. That sacrifice of high nourishment of all things that had to do with art, with beauty, with harmony. And friends, the thing is that as we live our life, we need to learn to reunite ourselves with art. All of our ways of being, all of our ways of dressing, all of our manners, all of our habits, all of our acting needs to be connected back to that fundamental concept of art. Because after all, art is one of the pillars of experiential knowledge, meaning gnosis. Art is a pillar of gnosis. So that means that every day, as we hold interactions, we have to strive to be artistic, to be elegant, eloquent, harmonious, beautiful. But we're not doing this for ourselves. We're not doing this because we want any praise. We are doing this for others. We're doing this because we have to give an example. An example that is so necessary on a society that is so decadent. So this is what the altar cue is telling us. This is what we come to offer our individual and particular sacrifice. It is here in this altar where we come to offer our sacrifice so that we can extract that high nourishment, that nourishment that goes deep into the mind. And for us to extract that, we have to contribute because we need to maintain the balance of that cosmic law of the cosmic trogo auto egocrat. That is the law that says that all things nourish from each other. That is the law that maintains that perfect balance in nature. So we need to live our life in ways that are beautiful, harmonious. We need to live in a deep state condition of equanimity. And when we approach this altar, what we see is that it is a cubic stone. So that must tell us something more. Because it is telling us just the fact that we acknowledge that it is a cubic stone. It is telling us that in that harmony, in that beauty that we must live our life, the focus must be on the internal work, on materializing in each and every one of us the fruit of the great work. That is the only fruit that comes from that manifestation, that engagement of the super dynamics of love. And as we look closely unto the altar, we see that there are four gods. There are four masters. There are four illuminated men. Now they are men, not because the Mayas were chauvinistic, not because they thought that women were inferior, because of course not. Men, because men in its context, it originally means all of humanity. Men is a word that is inclusive of both men and women, and that is why they are portrayed like this. In this case, men only in this altar, because as we approach the altar, this cubical stone, this place of personal, individual, and particular sacrifice, this place where we gather the high nourishment, this is a place where we receive, and it is the masculine aspect, the one that projects. The feminine aspects receives. The man is the positive force. The woman is the negative, and the force that conciliates them, that force of love, is the neutral force. So there are these four men here. That four is not there by mistake. That four is not there by mistake. Because that four is many things. That four is the multiple perfect unity of our innermost. That four is Arcanum Four. Arcanum Four is the Emperor. The Emperor is our innermost. It is our individual and particular being. But beyond that, this four is the combination of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That divine trinity, together with the unmanifested light, together with the uncreated space, together with the ray of creation and that creative power. And that 3 plus 1 equals 4. And that 4 is the tetragrammaton. Tetra means 4. Grammaton is a reference to 4 characters. So here, just by looking at this altar, we can develop the ability to look at the symbols and extract the wisdom that come with them. And this is why the Mayas venerated so much the forces of nature, the power of creation. And this is why their art, their pyramids, their relics, and everything that they left behind is so rich in wisdom. Because they did not hold any repair in leaving behind as much wisdom as they could for all of those future generations that were going to be finding these treasures. So these four are the all-powerful tetragrammaton. And in each one of the four sides of this altar, this place of sacrifice, this place where we come together, that high nourishment, okay, in beauty, in harmony, in dance, in art, in living a life that is exemplary in nature. We see these four. There are four in the north, four in the south, four in the east, and there are four in the west. So it really does not matter which one of the four sides you would like to focus on. Based on the many other Gnostic labs of practical application that we have had, based on the many other lectures, well, you already have an indication. If you would like to work with those elemental forces of water, well, then you stand on the side that is facing towards the east. If you want to work with the elemental forces that govern the element of air and the processes of the mind, then you can face towards the west. If you would like to work with the elemental forces that deal with the atomic elementals of earth, those that have to do with emotional stability and creating solid foundations, then we face to the north. If we want to deal with the atomic elementals of fire, and we want to work with those elementals of fire to consume succubi, incubi that may be affecting us, to bring to an end certain works that we have done in the past that perhaps we shouldn't have, then we face to the south. So it doesn't matter. But for the purpose of this exercise today, you choose which direction you would like to face. Because these four great masters, they are the same across the four sides. They carry the same wisdom. They offer the same benefit. And when we're doing this, as we make ourselves ready for the practice, now that we understand the meaning that the Maya left for us in this particular altar cue, we're going to be using the mantra Gate. And the mantra Gate, being a word of power, because mantra means word of power, what it means in essence is liberation. Samael shares with us a story where there is a Buddhist monk that is walking, and you're going to hear this story again when we are doing our seminar in meditation at the intermediate level. That master is walking, and there is a tremendous snowstorm. There is a blizzard that is very consuming, and he is suffering because of the cold. And he is consistently walking, and with every step that he takes, there is more suffering, and there is more complaining, and more internal hysteria. And that monk, realizing what was happening, he decides to sit, calm down his physicality so that his emotions can calm down as well, and so that he can calm down his intellect. And as he is doing that, he has a vision of Amitabha. Amitabha, the real being of the Buddha. And Amitabha, in an exercise of compassion, gives him the mantra Gate. And the monk received that mantra, and he chants the mantra Gate to help himself liberate himself from the suffering of this world. Of course, dear friends, all of the great masters live their life in symbols. And we can extract the wisdom from that blizzard, from that snowstorm, from the suffering that is bringing to that particular illuminated being. So the word Gate means liberation. And Gate is a powerful mantra that we invite you to chant vocally or mentally any time that you feel that you are maybe under too much stress. Maybe when you feel in those moments that life is just too overwhelming. Maybe at those moments where you feel that you maybe cannot take much more. Calm yourself down. Bring relaxation into your body. Bring calmness into your emotional center. Allow your intellect to stop projecting. And chant the mantra, Gate, Gate, Gate. Samael teaches us how to chant this mantra. And when we're chanting this mantra, it should sound something like this. Gate. 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 If we chant it and we verbalize it, that is phenomenal, because the word always creates. If it is not appropriate to chant it verbally, chant it mentally, because it is also powerful. So these are these four images. And for our practice today, what is it that we want to do? We're going to take these images, and you will be able to, you will have access to these either by through the book on the Mayan Mysteries written by Master Samael Onweor, or going to our website, samaelgnosis.us, because these you will find these images there. You can download one of them just for the sake of contemplation. Because the whole purpose of this exercise is for you to connect with that ray of wisdom, of the Maya wisdom. And for us, what we must do is just contemplate the image of those four masters for around 30 minutes. This is a good exercise in confrontation. Now, please understand that we do not say confrontation in the way that it is understood today. Because confrontation for many people is to get on someone's face, is to be aggressive and loud, and maybe a bit obnoxious. That is not what we mean. We're speaking of confrontation in the meaning of your ability to be there and perceive. Get the image. Print it. Sit down on your meditation chair. Sit down on your meditation pillow. Sit down on your little meditation bench. It doesn't matter. Whatever you use to meditate, that is comfortable for you. And as you are there, relax the body. Breathe deeply. Calm the mind so that the emotions calm down. And contemplate the image for around 30 minutes. At first, it would be difficult to decipher what is what. But as you are diligent and consistent with the practice, you will start seeing the shapes. You will start seeing even the shades of color that come with the astral light. As you see those shapes and as you see those colors, you start immediately extracting wisdom on the meaning of each one of those symbols. And that is a function of the eye of Dagma. So what we do is that we relax our body and we focus around 30 minutes of our time to contemplate these four masters. And as we do that, we start burning that image into the screen of our mind. Because we should burn those images in the screen of our mind, which is way better than burning the images of lewdness and lustfulness and violence and murder and all the other things that we see on TV all the time. Those are not constructive. These are certainly useful. So let's burn these images in the screen of our mind. And as we do that, we seek a state of no thinking. This is the state of Pratyahara. This is the state of superior thinking. Because Samael says, the most superior way of thinking is not thinking. And once we get to that, we can chant the mantra, Gati. So how do we do this? For our purpose today, we're going to assume the corpse posture. After you have given yourself those 30 minutes or so of contemplating the image, lay down back on the mat, on the floor if the floor is comfortable for you, on your bed if you can do that. Your head should be pointing towards the north, and if not, it should be pointing towards the east. And as you are laying comfortably, assume the corpse posture. That means that you lay flat on your back, your heels come together, and you allow your feet to fan open to the sides. Okay? And you are there just very comfortable. In one of these variations, allow your arms to be extended comfortably along the side of your body. In the other variation, bend your elbows and the tips of your fingers, rest them over your heart. And we do this over the chest, over the heart, because within the microcosmic man, the region of Tiferet is in the heart. Tiferet means beauty. So now you can see how all of these things connect together. Art, harmony, beauty, the heart, the letter Q, the altar, the higher nourishment. You can see how all these things come together. But the story speaks to you when you meditate on it. So for this exercise, let's go ahead and let's lay in our back. We're going to give you a few brief moments. As we have done with other practices, we will allow you to drift away in this exercise. And by the time that you wake up, remember, do not jolt your body. Just remain very calm. So have your Gnostic journal close by so that if you see any images, if you experience anything within that astral plane, that you can take notes of that so that you can decipher that later using the four laws to interpret dreams. Very well. So now that we are resting comfortably in our back, what we will do now is that we're going to close our eyes and let's go ahead and take a deep breath in one, two. One, two, one, two, Let's go ahead and make use of our objective imagination. Because objective imagination is not fantasy. And let's use our objective imagination to visualize a wave of relaxation that inundates the body. And let's see this stream of relaxation just coming in through the soles of our feet. And it's spreading itself upwards in our body, in our feet, our ankles, our calves, our knees, our thighs, our hips and buttocks. Allow that stream of relaxation to reach and pass through your sexual organs and continue expanding into your lower back, your abdomen, your chest, your shoulders, and see it flowing down your arms, into your elbows, your wrists, your hands, and out your fingers. Continue breathing without making any effort. And as you continue exhaling, observe that wave of relaxation expanding through your neck, relaxing the muscles around your jaw, your lips, your tongue, your cheeks, your eyes. Any tension that exists between your eyebrows dissipates, dissolves, and bring that relaxation to the crown of your head. We enjoy this relaxation without identification. We are grateful for it. And in that gratitude, we maintain the remembrance of self. to bring down the activity of the mind. Let's make use of an ancient gaum. Actually, it's an ancient koan. A koan is an enigmatic phrase. It is a question or a statement that is very difficult for the mind to understand. And the whole purpose is to allow the mind to calm down. Because this is why we meditate. We meditate to calm down. And the question is, what was your first face? What was your first face? Continue repeating that koan deep within your mind. What was your first face? What was your first face? As the mind starts calming down, we are grateful for the tranquility that we start experiencing. And our ultimate goal is to achieve a condition of no thinking. So do not fear to continue with this koan, even if you find that you wake up the next morning still repeating it. So with our hands extended along the body, or with the tips of our fingers touching our heart, we chant the mantra, Gate. Gate. Gate means liberation. Gate. But this is not the liberation that comes from someone who saves us from a force that spares us from our suffering. This is liberation because we develop the ability to see the thing itself. Because by opening our eye of dogma, we can see the true reason behind our suffering. And because through that observation, we reach the necessary comprehension that leads to elimination. Gate. 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 Dear friends, continue with this exercise. And remember, by the moment that you wake up, write down in your Gnostic journal everything that you see, everything that you hear, and everything that you experience. But most of all, beg to your innermost, so that he may awaken in you the faculty of the Eye of Dogma. May all beings be happy.